It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. Welcome to Money for Lunch. It's always, always good to have you here. And I'm excited for today's guest. This guy is the real deal. Sounds kind of weird, right? As opposed to the fake deal. But on the show today, we have Mark Devine. And anyway, so excited to have him on the show. Mark Devine is a retired U.S. Navy SEAL. So that is going to be just a fun interview. And anyway, so he has got a book out that my producer is looking for me right now. Anyway, it's incredible to, not just have Mark on the show, which I'm glad that he's on the show, but to know that there is a group of people that are able to push themselves to this incredible level, right? I mean, look, bottom line is we are able to make the impossible happen quite often because we have no choice. So today's quote of the day goes out to Nelson Mandela. It always seems impossible until it's done. It always seems impossible until it's done. And I think that is so fitting for today's guest. And anyway, so it always seems impossible until it's done. It's incredible to think of some of the stuff that these guys go out and they do. Anyway, so let's get the party started. Mark Devine, a native of Oneida County, New York. Mark served, as I mentioned, as a U.S. Navy SEAL for 20 years, retiring as a commander, as the founder of SEAL Fit, NavySeals.com, and U.S. CrossFit. He has coached thousands of Navy SEAL and other special ops candidates to succeed in the most demanding military training program in the world with a success rate of 90%. In his new Unbeatable Mind Academy, Mark trains the public in the eight way of a SEAL principles. Mark Devine, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hey, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. Really appreciate that intro.
Awesome. Well, you bet. And I want to say this because the reality is, hey, you know, you and thousands, literally millions of brave men and women serve our country. You did it for 20 years. Thank you so much for serving our country, first of all.
Yeah, appreciate that. You know, it's always nice to hear that. And we do it for our own reasons, and, you know, we get a lot out of it, but it's nice to know that other people appreciate that and honor us for it.
All right, so let's jump into this, man. When you think of a leader, what is the best quality, in your opinion, a leader can possess?
You know, I've been in leadership situations and led in all different, you know, kinds of environments, both corporate world and combat. And from my experience, the best quality a leader can acquire, because I don't think anyone just possesses this quality naturally, but best quality that someone can acquire as a leader is real authenticity, you know, where they genuinely care for their teammates. They respect their teammates. And all of this stems from a great care and respect for themselves. So, you know, as a result of that, they are trustworthy, and so they become trusted. And all these qualities kind of relate. But ultimately, I would, like, boil it down to, like, a real deep authenticity of character.
Gotcha, gotcha. I love this. Now, this is interesting because is this something that you acquired from your SEAL training? Is that something that, that you learned from that experience?
I think it certainly was accelerated, maybe, you know, to some extent required. But, you know, I had leaders in the SEALs who didn't have those, you know, those qualities. They were more positional leaders, and they would lower their rank over you. And, but, you know, they really weren't the true leaders in the SEAL team or in the troop, so to speak. The true leaders were always the individuals, and oftentimes they were the gritty senior enlisted guys who'd just been there, done that, and had, you know, gotten kicked in the ass many times. And so they would kind of, you know, they had become very humble, and they didn't wear their leadership stripes on their sleeve as a badge of honor. They really just were taking care of the guys. It was their job, right? And
right.
Ultimately, that ended up being the best leadership capacity was, hey, let's take care of the guys. This isn't about me. This is about the mission and the team. And I've noticed that, you know, in a business environment, that is the same, you know, quality that the you know, corporate people want as well. They want to be taken care of. They want to know that the leader has their back. They want to know they're going to go out of their way to provide cover for them when they risk and fail, which is inevitable. And so, you know, I saw that in the SEALs, but ultimately I think it's something that can be developed. It's what I've endeavored to do in my business, organizations, is to develop leaders to have this kind of capacity, what I call Kokoro heart, which means heart mind, engaging your heart and your mind in your actions and your decisions.
Oh, I like that. I like that very much. All right, real quick, ladies and gentlemen, the book is The Way of the SEAL, Think Like an Elite Warrior to Lead and Succeed. All right, so let me ask you this, because, again, you know, SEALs are portrayed as, just tough, both mentally and physically tough. Some of the missions that SEALs are, have pulled off are incredible. You hear some of these, some of the things that the SEALs have done to save, a life or to rescue people and all that other stuff. So when you're thinking of, I don't know, of a man, a real man, Mark, what does a real man, after all the stuff that you experience, what do you consider a real man to be?
You know, I think we have kind of a lopsided view of what a real man is in our Western culture. And unfortunately, it cuts off the most important part, in my opinion, which is the heart, you know, which is the emotional side. And so I think a real man is someone who is, you know, can be gritty and hard, but also soft and emotionally mature and flexible. And it's that those latter qualities that are absent and kind of almost disdained in our society. And yet what I find is when we begin to teach them and open especially men up to those qualities, then the whole system gets stronger. They become more integrated, more whole, better leaders, because they're able to kind of feel into situations better. They're, you know, able to connect at a deeper level with their teammates. And honestly, the heart mind has a deeper level of wisdom than just the brain. The brain is full of biases and, you know, snap judgments and a history of, like, flawed decision making backing it up, and yet we continue to rely on it as your only source of knowledge. And so I think, you know, if you could say what's a real man, it's a whole man, you know, someone who's using their whole capacity.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because here you are, again, you've mentioned this heart mind, what did you call it, corporeal leadership type thinking. What is it?
Right. Kokoro. It's a Japanese term that means heart mind, whole mind, or merging your heart and your mind into your actions.
Right. And, you know, in listening to you talk, what's interesting to me is that when you look at a grandfather type of man who is strong, but yet he's vulnerable, he's willing to share his emotions. You know, when you think of all the grandfatherly type of skill sets or characteristics, it's a shame that we have to, I guess we don't have to, that for so many of us, are those characteristics, those strengths are developed so late in life versus having them, you know, now. Because
right.
When I look at my kid's grandfather, and this guy, he served in the military. He was a bank president. The guy he's gone through some stuff, but at the same time, you know, he's extremely patient and he's got a good sense of humor. And of course, when you talk to his kids, he didn't have all those skill sets back then, right? When he was a dad or a young father, and you know, you're trying to raise your family and you're doing all those things. And it's just too bad that for most of us, we learn these things later in life, or we, as you said, we acquire these things later in life.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, those qualities of humility and patience and, you know, those characteristics that we talked about earlier are, you know, they accrue through life experiences, you know, through all the ups and downs, and particularly the downs, right? But what I found is that you can develop them, and I was very fortunate. You know, I consider myself incredibly lucky to have found a Zen master when I was 20 years old who began to teach me some of the skills that are not the norm in the West, but are more found in kind of the Eastern warrior traditions, martial arts. And so he had me sitting on a Zen meditation bench. He had me doing breath work, you know, being really aware of my breathing, learning breath control. And then I also developed a practice of visualization. He didn't necessarily teach me that, but I kind of learned that through trial and error and also through my sports development programs. And I use those skills every day as a daily practice. And I found that when I got to field training that I was different than the other candidates. I mean, I was a little bit more calm. I was able to control my stress. I was able to kind of visualize the win. I was able to keep myself really positive and motivated every day. And I ended up sailing through the SEAL training, and we had 185 students start, you know, all really gritty, tough men. And there I was at the end with 19 other guys, and I was the honor man of my class. And I was not the grittiest and toughest guy, you know, but I was leading with my heart. And I already into a lot of these skills at an early age. And so I was really curious about that later on. And it formed kind of the foundation of this research that I've been doing around, wow, those skills that have been lost to the Western world are really valuable, but they've been known to like warrior traditions forever. And that is, you got to cultivate the hard and the soft. Now, the SEALs themselves still focused on the hard, but today, because I've been training SEAL candidates now for over 10 years, they're really starting to get interested in the soft. And so now they're teaching breath control and visualization and mindfulness and those types of things that I teach. I've been teaching, like I said, for 10 years, and the SEALs that I teach all make it through the training, practically all, except for a few who get injured. So I think these can be developed. That was my whole point, is that you can develop these grandfatherly skills at any age, but it's particularly useful if you get someone young, especially when their brain isn't fully developed. You know, I think the average male's brain isn't really developed these days until probably 25, 26. So you teach them these skills when they're 18 to 25, and it literally changes their brain and it changes their life for the better.
Yeah, no, I love it. And again, the book we're talking about is The Way of the SEAL. The author is Mark Devine, retired U.S. Navy SEAL. You know, what's amazing to me also is the and again, this is just me being, you know, what do you call it, getting my data from mass media, TV, movie, and stuff like that. But it seems like that for as gritty and hard paced as the SEAL life is, right? I've met multiple SEALs that have, you know, who really have stayed in there 15, 20 plus years. It's amazing, you know, that you guys are able to maintain that level of, what do you call it, of consistency for so long. Is that because of what? What would you attribute that to?
Well, a few things. One, the mission is deeply inspiring. And so, you know, we warriors are from a different cloth, and you're called to serve and to protect. And what better way to do that than as a Navy SEAL? And so, and, you know, it's a long game for us. Not everyone. Some people want to get in for the glory and then get out. But, you know, for the most part, the true warriors, that's their career. That's their life. That's their mission. Their personal mission aligns with the team's mission and the SEAL's mission. So that's probably one. It's like deeply motivating. Two is that that team, that brotherhood is intense. It starts with SEAL training, and you develop a bond, a love of, you know, there's no word in English that can describe the bond that, you know, males in particular develop when they go through suffering together. It's intense, and warriors have known this for, you know, all generations. That is very, very sticky, and we don't want to leave that. And a lot of guys who get out of the Navy and the SEALs actually get kind of lost, and they want, you know, because there's nowhere that you can find that level of connection with another human being. Not, it's way deeper even than your family of origin. My brothers are my teammates from the SEALs, and I'm closer to them. And I hate to say this, because my familiar brothers are great, but you know, I'm closer to my teammates than I am to them in a different way. So that is another reason that it keeps people in. And then the other thing, which is really cool, is the SEALs are constantly doing new things. Like every week you're doing something new. You know, it might be running and gunning out in an island, you know, for 6 weeks, learning all the small unit tests. Then you're going to be doing parachute training, and then you're going to be doing submarine training. And then you're going to be doing, you know, any other number of things, you know, learning advanced intel skills or a language. And so you're always learning something new, always testing your boundaries, and you're always pushing yourself and challenging yourself. And then along the side of this is that your career is organized to always change. You know, every, not only, you know, if you're at a SEAL team, are you always doing something different and new, but you're going to change SEAL teams every 3 to 5 years, or as an officer, it's even quicker. You know, it's every 18 months to 3 years, you got a new job. And that job might take you over to Europe, or it might take you to South America. It might take you to, you know, Alaska. It might take you anywhere, into the White House even. And so there's always these wickedly cool opportunities. You know, I have three SEAL friends who are astronauts, multiple, wow, you know, who work at NATO, or I know, just crazy opportunities. And so it's just, again, very motivating to always look forward and say, hey, what can I do next? You know, so that was a long answer, but there it's quite a incredible career, actually.
Sure, place. Sure. No, absolutely. And interestingly enough, some of the things that you mentioned there is, I think, what most people desire in life, where you have this close-knit group of friends, which means you're accepted and loved and you're supported. You also right. have this an area where you're held accountable. If you screw up, they tell you. Which right. makes you become better. And then, of course, right. you have variety. So, hey, every couple of years, you know, you're doing something different. Today's mission is completely different from, let's say, a mission that you may have a month or two from now. The training, you know, is definitely different. So it keeps that variety, that spice of life going. Let's talk about yeah. this. How can the everyday person harness your principles in an atmosphere of uncertainty?
Well, that's such a great question because, I mean, this world is uncertain. You know, I call it VUCA, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And that's a term that we use in the military to, you know, talk about combat environments. So the business world, you know, the economy, politics, everything around us starting to look like a VUCA environment. It's very uncertain.
Yeah.
So everybody who is listening, especially if you're a leader, you know, there's a few key things. First, you know, to appreciate that this is the new norm. You know, the SEALs get comfortable with discomfort. They put themselves in situations that are very, very uncomfortable until that becomes comfortable. And then the idea that things are getting too comfortable is makes them uneasy. And so they try to shake things up. They want to challenge themselves. You know, if things become too comfortable, too cozy, too stable, then there's something coming. There's a storm brewing. And that's the attitude of the SEALs. There's something coming. So they're always ready for change. They're looking for it. They embrace it. And so that develops an intense resiliency. Anything could happen. Whatever it does, we deal with it, good, bad, or the ugly, and we find a way through it, or we make a way through it, and we're deeply motivated by solving those types of gritty problems that are always going to be there. In uncertainty, get comfortable with uncertainty, right? Learn to fail better. That's in the kind of another one. SEALs had this saying, failure is not an option, and it tricks a lot of people. They think, oh, yeah, they're perfectionists. They can't fail. Not true at all. What it really means is the concept of failure is not an option because we expect to fail. So what we do is we learn to fail really well. we seek failure even before it happens so that we can visualize, you know, options or alternatives and contingency plans. And then when the inevitable failure does come, because we realize that no plan survives contact, the enemy has a say, that, you know, we're going to adapt and overcome. We're going to become very pliable. Our motto in the SEALs is Semper Gumby, always flexible, you know, and that's kind of a play on the Marine Corps motto of always faithful. So you need to become extremely flexible and fail well and fail often and fail forward. There's some ideas for
you. I like that. I like that the concept of failing better, faster, forward. I also like the concept of VUCA there because no matter what, you're constantly dealing with some kind of vague, what's it stand for? Vague?
Volatile, uncertain, volatile. Complex, and ambiguous. Yeah, volatile. Volatility is
volatile.
Things change so fast. It could be like steady state. You're thinking, whoo, I solved that problem, and bam, you get hit with another one. Right. Roadside bomb goes off, or, you know, your market just disappears overnight because, you know, some unicorn pops up and takes all your market, you know, away, you know? So volatility and complexity, but, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at Toys R Us, you look at what happened to the newspaper industry.
Right. And, you know, they seem to be overnight, but there are telltale signs. You can learn to, you know, kind of scan ahead into the environment and not get comfortable and start to plan for, you know, plan for these volatile environments. Volatility and complexity, the four, you know, the acronym has got these four letters. So volatility and complexity, the V and the C, those are external things, right? Complexity is external. Complexity is things when things are complicated, but not linear anymore. They're complicated in multiple directions, so you can't sort them out. You know what I mean? Like in the industrial age, a bureaucracy was complicated, but you could figure it out. Like if you entered a career at 25 into a bureaucratic organization, you could kind of plot your path to the top, right? It was complicated, but not unsolvable. Complex is unsolvable, right? So that's an external thing. Volatility is an external thing. But uncertainty and ambiguity, those are internal. Those are internal self states that come as a result of volatility and complexity. Those are things we can deal with. We can deal with uncertainty by training our brains and our minds to, you know, to be comfortable with uncertainty and with certain, you know, tools like we talked about. And we can train for ambiguity. Ambiguity is when there is no known answer. Like it's literally, you could go left, you could go right, you could go forward, you could go backwards. Each one seems to be an acceptable solution. And so in those cases, we say, just do something. Find the smallest action or the smallest arc to success. Take some action and then get some feedback. And then you observe, orient, decide, and act. You observe what happened. You orient yourself to that new reality. you make a new small decision, and then you act on it, and you keep on acting until you have a clear path forward.
Man, I love that. I love that. Because so many of us get hung up. You know, they don't know, you know, when it's not a necessarily an easy answer, when or a clear road, they get hung up. They kind of get paralyzed. And I like this idea of how you deal with that, you know, with that situation. Take some action, right? Take some action and just start moving forward a little bit. And is that how you guys deal with indecisiveness in the field? You know, I mean, you sit there and you say, okay, we got to do something because staying here is just not going to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Or you kind of probe for the enemy by, you know, sending some scouts out or, you know, probing by fire. I mean, like, there's an answer out there somewhere, but I got to go find the answer. I can't wait for it to come to me. You know, and so if you get stuck in analysis paralysis or groupthink or anything like that because you can't figure out a way forward, then do something, right? Put a few minimal viable products out. See what's going to click. You know, see where the gears are going to turn. Or, you know, whatever your scenario is, do something.
Right.
You know, doubt is eliminated by action alone, is what we say.
I like that. One of the phrases that I like to, repeat is you can't lose by taking action. Because, you know, you take action, you get some feedback, then, back to what you said about you orient yourself to the new environment, then you take another action, and before you know it, you're moving forward, as opposed to people who just sit there until their market runs them over.
Right, and there's no such thing as perfect information anymore. And what you need to do, and what you just said is perfect, I love that. If you take action and you have a small win, great, that's a win. If you take action and you have a small loss and you learn from it, great, that's another win. In either case, it's win-win.
Right? Yeah.
But if you sit on your butt and you do nothing, then you got a loss in both columns. So.
Yeah, I like that so very much. All right. So, again, we're talking with retired U.S. Navy SEAL Mark Devine, and his latest book. What did I do with this latest book? Hold on. His latest book, The Way of the SEAL, Think Like an Elite Warrior to Lead and Succeed. And one of the things that I want to make painfully clear for, you know, that this book is not, you know, you just telling a bunch of stories about, you know, back in the day, your SEAL stories. This is how, you know, you take the stuff, just like you and I are talking about, you take your SEAL training and you apply it to the war that is business, the war that is
right.
Taking care of your family. Or if you don't want to use the word war, you can say the leadership that is running a business, the leadership that is running a family, right? Because all of these things apply.
Correct. That, my intent with this book, and you, like you said, it's not more stories. I do have a lot of stories in there, but I have as much experience in business as I had in the SEALs as a leader. I started six, you know, businesses, each of which has achieved multiple $1 million in sales. And you know, I've had my failures and been kicked in the groin in the business world as well. And the family, I've been married for 25 years and I got two stepdaughters, an adopted son. These principles are designed for the quote unquote everyday person who, in my opinion, with a little bit of reorientation in how they think and what they do every day in terms of how they train their mind, their body, their emotions, how they connect with their heart, how they get clear about their future path forward, how they learn to stand their ground with a set of very powerful principles so they can't get pushed around. And now, next thing you know, they're making, you know, better and better decisions. They're starting to think and lead like an elite warrior. You know, even a Navy SEAL starts his training with a single push-up. So, you know, this book is essentially mental push-ups for, you know, quote, the everyday person to become, you know, like a SEAL-like mom. Or business leader. And it works, you know, and I've been training thousands of people, not just SEALs and Spec Ops guys, but, you know, from all walks of life, since 2007. And the principles in this book and developing what I call an integrated training plan, which will develop you vertically, taking responsibility for your own growth to develop those characters that we talked about at the beginning of the show, has a profound effect on all areas of your life. And it works.
Powerful yeah. stuff. Yeah, I love that so very much. It's so important for us to look at these principles and apply them to our lives. And Mark, we're out of time, but I want to just thank you so much for stopping by and ask you real quick, if our listeners want to find out more about you, if they want to maybe look at hiring you for an engagement or something like that, where's the best website to find out more about you?
Well, Unbeatable Mind. Unbeatablemind.com has all the we have an amazing online training that goes through all the principles. We have an e-course for the Way of the Seal. That's a great place. We have my personal coaching program is all found at unbeatablemind.com. If anyone's interested in the gritty, hardcore team building training we do for sports teams and Seal Fit, SEALFIT.com. And I will say one thing for this book, the Way of the Seal book, I have a free workbook that has all the exercises broken out into a PDF, and anyone who wants to get that should go to the book page, which is called wayoftheseal.com, and just by entering your email, you'll get a free workbook PDF and some other tools, and you can get a copy of the book there as well.
All right, so wayoftheseal.com.
Correct.
I'm going to put that in the show notes, ladies and gentlemen, wayoftheseal.com. Go over there, get your PDF, and you can check out the book as well. I believe it's also available on Audible. And Mark, thank you so much for stopping by. Looking forward to having you back again.
It was a real honor. Thank you so much. Have a great
All right.
day.
You too. Good stuff there from U.S. Navy SEAL, retired U.S. Navy SEAL, so grateful for Mark Devine and his book, The Way of the Seal. The Way of the Seal. The Way of the Seal. Think like an elite warrior to lead and succeed. To lead and succeed. I love that. And anyway, check him out at thewayoftheseal.com. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with everyone we know. Let's help everybody learn to lead and succeed. And always, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.